going on, listeners? Welcome to this week's latest episode of Can I Kick It FC. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr. It is joining me is a young lady that could probably design you the best tifo in the world and also just got finished rooting for the World Series champions, the Atlanta Braves. It's Miss Vera. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Elliot.
Oh, no problem. Look, we've been wanting to you. I've been telling you this while I'm going to tell the listeners as well. I've been wanting to have you on the show for a while. So the fact that we have you on now means a lot to me. It means a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, of course. So real quick, before we dive into everything, and I ask you like a billion and one questions, I got to ask, is the varsity worth it? Because the last time I was in Atlanta, I wasn't that impressed. I got to know, is it worth it for me to try again for a second time?
Listen, I as it goes, like most things in cities, it has its staple of like nostalgia to the city for what it is. I mean, I went to the varsity growing up before Braves games with my family. That was like a tradition. We'd go and get, you know, some onion rings and chili dogs. And to that, that's the level extent of my knowledge of that menu. Because I don't eat much else. And the orange, you know, frosty, yeah, things like that. But, I mean, it's a staple. It's one of those things, you said you did it, but I ain't going to force bad food on you.
Because
we used to call it, you know, you get your yearly grease when you go to the varsity, because that's mostly what it is.
That's very true. Because my wife went to Atlanta, and she was like, yeah, you got to try the varsity. You got to try the varsity. And I swear, after I ate it, I was like, yo, I need to eat healthy. Like,
yeah,
I need to go work out after this.
We'd rather you eat healthy. But yeah, it's just a staple of the city. To say you've been there and that's it, or you know, you're good. But yeah, it's your yearly grease if you decide to do it. But yeah, it's not one of those things where it says, well, you have to go to there. It's there.
I feel you. Well, talking about being a staple in the city, you are definitely a staple at Atlanta United games for all your design work and everything like that. I want to ask you, like, how did you get started into designing these TIFOs and being a leader in your supporters group?
Well, it started, I'm Atlanta girl through and through. So when the team and the club was announced, I was a go from jump. It was like, okay, we got another pro team coming to the city, got Atlanta on it. I'm here for it. And so then knowing and understanding the culture of soccer here in the States, of course, and how much involvement fans have and supporter culture as a part of it, I was like, you know, this is exciting because, you know, I was the fan and still am to this day. But, you know, but before having supporter culture to do it at a larger scale, I'd be bringing signs to games and Hawks and Falcon games, saying my little, you know, piece and putting it on display. And of course, TIFOs are such a larger expression of that. So not long after the club was announced, I'm this much of an Atlanta fan. I went to the Super Bowl. I went to 51 in Houston, party for 3 days and three quarters. And I really need something to, when I came back home, I needed something else to be into. So I remember looking on socials, and Resurgence was asking for help to paint the first TIFO. And so I had some knowledge of what, you know, supporter culture and Resurgence. I had looked at all of them from a distance, Footy and Terminus, and even Faction for a bit. And I joined Resurgence for that fact that they were asking for help to do the first TIFO and looking at their bylaws. And they were very much about the in-game and experience. That was their core, you know, piece of what they're going to give to the club. And I was like, that's what I'm about. And TIFOs, of course, is a large part of that. So I joined Resurgence, showed up to a warehouse in West Atlanta, and it was like, okay.
Okay, first of all, that sounded a little sketchy.
Hey, it was like that. It was just like, okay, yeah, here's the address. And you pull up and you see a few cars, no lights, and it's like, okay. But it was legit. We were back in there painting on fabric, 4 or 5 coats, more than we needed, but didn't know no better, you know, just working. and giving your time and energy to something you, I mean, we didn't know what to expect, but all we knew is that we needed to show up and do our part as fans and put on this display to say Atlanta was here. So working on that, and I remember after we wrapped that first TIFO, the leaders of the group asked at the time, was there anyone else there who had a design experience or painting? And of course, my background had already been a creative and doing murals and things. So I raised my hands like, yeah, I design and paint murals. I'm very aware how to work at scale. So yeah. So it kind of went on from there. I ended up designing the next TIFO and then TIFO after that, and just kept going and going. That first season, we wanted to come out the gate hard. So we did one just about every match. That was the goal. And it kind of went on from there. And I got really involved from that aspect of it. And then the people and the culture, and of course the club, it was, I tell you, we call it the Bobby Dodd days. It was really something else, like coming out the gate the way we did, the energy. Again, Atlanta's always got a chip on our shoulder because anybody talk about us outside of Atlanta, we don't want to hear it. Like, we know what's wrong with our city or what may be wrong with our sports teams, but don't fix your mouth if you ain't from here to tell us about it. We know that. But in that same vein, we're going to support and be loud and show you different that from what you base narrative of what you've heard. And that means a lot to me. So when I did my TIFOs or the TIFOs I work on in that vein, I always use it to exalt the city and the club and put a highlight onto what we're doing here. And so that's kind of a overview of my involvement with TIFOs and Atlanta United and resurgence and the support of culture here in Atlanta.
I will have to say, like, your style of TIFOs are very different than what I've seen from other people, because most people TIFOs are like coming at another club or attacking like a person, and yours are like very centric to the city estate of Georgia, the city of Atlanta. When you're going into designing these TIFOs, like, what are some things you're looking to do or pull that kind of inspires you to make these TIFOs?
Yeah, I like to, again, I always want to put Atlanta first in the mindset, because that's the way I feel like the club wants to be portrayed. Like, we're out there, whoever we're against on the pitch or that day, they're in the way, but it's Atlanta first. It's about what we need to do. So I come in that same mindset of like, well, what does Atlanta want to say? What do we want to say from our perspective? Now, don't get me wrong, I have had some ideas and little nudges here to go at the team, but it's always like Atlanta is so big on top of it that whatever we're saying to the other club, it can get lost because it's just that much like us over the everything. It's Atlanta versus everybody always. But in that, it's always a group effort as well. Probably one of the most notable TIFOs I worked on that first season was the King Peach TIFO. And that literally came about with a group of us on a chat throwing out ideas because, like, again, we were trying to come at it every week with something. And it came as simple as someone putting an emoji of, you know, peach is greater than an apple for, we were playing a city at that time. And so it was like, okay, yeah, that, you know, that's simple enough. We can knock it out, but it's more than just a peach. We King Peach, like, we're run this. It was the South, you know, Big Apple, everyone touts New York and ain't nobody taking nothing away from New York, but you ain't gonna take nothing away from Atlanta. We kings down here, so we're royalty. So that idea of putting the King Peach, putting the crown on the peach, making it huge in comparison to a, you know, apple that's been taking a lot of bites out of it. You know, this peach is tempting to a lot of people. I think that's also speaks to the culture shift in a lot of things. People move to Atlanta to try and get things going. You know, yeah, you can make it in New York, make it anywhere, but Atlanta's a good jump off. So that's kind of was the premise behind that, and saying that we are here, we're proud of who we are, And that's kind of the vein of it. So in that design, it was throwing that little bit of extra onto simple ideas to tout us. Another one that I worked with a good friend, Alex, on was the Atlanta FX TIFO. And at the time, that was like the first season the show had been on. And the club was really like just as hot as the show at the time, as far as what the city was doing inside the city. And, you know, the graphics for that show were so iconic, with the three lead characters holding the peach in our mouth, peach in their mouth, and our three mainstays with Miggy, Joseph, and Tito at the time. It was like, you can't not do it. So taking, you know, the culture that is given and kind of brought through Atlanta already and just flipping it, using that to showcase the city was kind of a no-brainer in those instances. And also too, as we grew from moving from Bobby Dodd into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Benz, as we call it. People still call it the Dome too, but it's because it's right where it was. So we had a new, you know, different real estate as far as how we display our TIFOs. And they're so much bigger considering, you know, soccer specific stadiums built with TIFO rigging in mind and freestanding, things of that nature. We have a lot of obstacles we have to work past in an NFL stadium that can hold soccer matches. So our thinking going into there was like, okay, well, what do we have? What can we use? How can we use this sight line? So we looked at, you know, doing things at more magnitude. Okay, we got a big stadium, we got a big show. Let's go even bigger than you know, the standard pullback or crowd surf TIFOs, then, you know, bigger than just the rigging, bigger than just, you know, a card stunt. Let's combine all these forces and do things, you know, at different levels. So as I design, I always take into account the space that we have, the platform that we'll have. Of course, we do look if it's like a national televised match or a particular opponent, how we really want to go at, because we know the eyes are watching from the first two seasons on, especially after winning the cup. People look to us and see what Atlanta's going to do, i.e. to hate or just, you know, check it out. So all those things are factors that are in consideration when I do design, but it's always Atlanta first, whenever possible.
I will have to say, like, ever since season one of Atlanta United, I've been drawn in. Like, I don't have an MLS side. I tell everyone, mm-hmm. like, I'm a free agent, but Atlanta United is close to my heart because of how many Black people are there. And I was like, oh yeah, like I love this club. So I got to ask you, because I've had Reggie on and a couple other Atlanta United folks on. How hot was Bobby Dodd? Because I heard it was scorching in the beginning.
It was hot. It was hot. It was hot. And we don't use that term hot, Atlanta. So I mean, I'm just going to say we don't use that, but it was hot because they would put us midday to 3 in Atlanta is worse than traffic when it comes to the sun in the summer. It's like baking, and they would put it to where there's no relief, no shade. We're just out there, and that sun was cooking us. But it was wouldn't trade it for the world, because that story, and like, we still were energized and went. And I tell people what was so amazing is that so much of what we created for the culture of our supporter groups here in Atlanta was so organic. Like, there wasn't, you know, oh, let's do this, do that. There were the opportunities to try things out, and things, you know, we threw things out that failed and didn't work, but we threw a lot of stuff out to try it. And the stuff that latched on really was organic and came from the groups themselves. But yeah, we had several matches in that Bobby Dodd heat where it was no joke. And even over in the Benz now, will there be some of those 3:30 matches or kickoffs where they want to open a top, they want to pop the top, and that sun literally bakes right on the supporter section. Like, the heartbeat of the stadium is like cooking. So it's totally different. Those are the only few things that zonk, that can really zonk our energy, is if the sun and heat is scorching hot, and when we have matches on a certain day in April. That's about it.
I feel you, because being in Richmond during the summertime, doing some games, and they'd be like, "Oh, we got a chance, I'd be like, "Bro, it's 1:10. I'll talk to y'all at halftime, bro." I'm about to go stand in the shade.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll prep in the lot because you know tailgates here. It's all days, day drinking plus. So we're out there hydrating as best as possible, making sure people hydrate, because that's how our pregame is, to pregame so we can go 90 minutes as far as cheering and causing as much rowdy craziness as possible for support of the club. So, yeah, hydration is a must on match days, whether the sun's baking us or not.
So you're in a city that is, for those who don't know, and they might be surprised, Atlanta is very black. It is called black Hollywood for a moment. Being in that city where there's so many HBCUs and so much importance towards Greek life, how is it to have so many important members of the soccer community that are leaders be black and be an open space for other black people to come into and want to and feel welcome?
Oh, it's so important. It's so important. I think that's one of the most important things in representing the city in that way, too, and being so gung-ho of being out front and being an advocate to show, hey, this is our sport too. We going to be rowdy and loud just like everybody else, but we know how to put our own swag and vibe on it. So folks like Reggie being up on that TIFO stand and me doing the TIFOs and being more out front and advocating, things like For the Culture with Greg and showing that, you know, the soccer community, soccer is sport as a whole, it's a global sport, and black people everywhere. And we, you know, once we get our hands on things or our foot on things, we're going to take, you know, it's going to be a certain level to it. So especially here in Atlanta with the history of the city with, you know, civil rights and the AU and our historical black colleges literally next door to where we play. It's so, so important that we show ourselves and be up front. And Atlanta has a rich culture. So you can't have Atlanta without black people. That's just not going to happen. So anything Atlanta is going to have black people, from the soccer to the supporter section. So it's important that we're there showing ourselves and being there and not just being in it, but we are leaders of the culture that we want to provide, from creating chants to creating the tone when it comes to the TIFOs. It's so important that we're there because that's true to what Atlanta is. It's not, you know, a facade of or trying to be. No, we're real Atlanta folk doing real Atlanta things, and we just gonna move it to the space that provides itself, you know, for us to speak up and be there. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that makes me, I think, extremely proud, is when I see more and more black folk venture over to the, we call it the pit, where we party and we got the flags waving and chants and beer tossing and everything. And they come over and I give them the once for, it's like, you've been in sex, but you know, stuff goes up. They know the deal. And they in there to have a good time and feel welcome. And we don't have no mess in there. So that's the energy and vibe that we want to set forth and encourage people to go. Granted, the crowd at United matches is one of the most diverse I've seen. It's like I said, it's brought the city together in more ways than one. You know, we don't aim at solving, you know, racism or nothing like that. But there is a moment when you're together in one setting, mixed with all kind of folk, every color, every language, and we in there cheering for this club for 90 minutes, having a good time. And it's a wonderful feeling. It's a really wonderful feeling.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I want to get down to Atlanta United game.
You gotta come now. See, you can't come out here and say, it ain't even no adopting at this point. You done said it. Atlanta's your club. Now you You got folk you done talk to. We got access. Can you next thing is saying, okay, I'll be here for this match, and we got you. That's all.
Will,
that's what
me.
That is now.
I'm coming down for an MLS game next year because my
that's
wife.
That's what that is.
My wife is Charlotte, so
Charlotte come too.
She made it known that we're going to support Charlotte FC. So when they play Atlanta, I'm going to be coming out for that game.
Tell Charlotte, both of y'all, come on down. it's done. You just say when you're coming.
I will let you know. I want to ask you this question. When it comes to being almost like a vocal point or being that face for the club, do you kind of always get taken back for a moment? Because let's be real, like being a woman of color, there's a lot of opportunity, there's a lot of history of where they kind of just use us as like a forefront. Do you ever get taken back sometimes and just realize like, no, the club is really hearing what I'm having to say?
Yeah. It definitely hit. 18 was a amazing year. That year, I mean, personally for my career, but especially what I was doing with the club, that was the year King Peach became the secondary kit base inspired off my work. We had the All-Star game there. And things, you know, I was just so excited about being a part of the club and cheering for it that even during the first season, media outlets were coming just to figure out what was going on. Like, what is Atlanta doing? So I'm not one to shy away to talk about it because it was organic and real. And I would rather you come talk to the source of folk who actually were doing it than, you know, fudging a story. So in that, I would speak and talk to a couple of different outlets about it. And I just spoke from the heart. And I think people caught that it was genuine and pure. And it's been evident because not what outside media has taken from it, but from people here in Atlanta who know me, who paint the TIFOs with me from the first one to the next one, still know that it's the same Vera and everything I said is legit. And it's not some actor, no. They understand that it was 100 and still is 100. So it was taken aback because I start to be seen more to the point, you know, Continental Tires calls and would like to do a piece featuring me about TIFOs, but in a sense about Atlanta and this voice of soccer for in the South. So it was taken aback. And I didn't feel used because I knew I was being genuine to the bigger cause of what Atlanta was doing. I think it would be different if I was approached and told to say something. But everything I've said and every piece I've done has been me, and I'm proud of that. And I know who I'm making proud. And who say they're proud of me, so therefore I don't feel like I'm being used as a Black woman to put on. No, it's just very authentic in me, and that's, you know, I live to my namesake. I'm named after my grandmothers. My name's Vera, which at the heart of the word means genuine and true, and that's how I try to live. So in anything I do, I try to give that authentic, genuine myself of who I am to the cause. And so that's how I approached everything that came out of the different spots that went up. I mean, that was just me. There's no script that people would be after the fact. They'd be like, have you done this before? No, I'm just really passionate about my city. I'm passionate about what this club is doing and wanted to do and accomplish and continue to. And I believe in it. And I'm from here. I understand the culture of the city. So I'd rather you talk to someone who believes like I do than find somebody who just, you know, can speak well for so long for a duration. I'd rather you get the real thing and for the real people of Atlanta to see me and say, yeah, than I'm good.
Yeah, look, I wish we had more people like you in the soccer universe, because I can tell it's genuine. I love it. You know, I want to ask you something, because you talk about keeping it real. Recently, your Atlanta Braves won the World Series, so congrats to you. Have they asked you at all to design anything? Because, you know,
no, they have not. So there's a different vibe. Well, it's not a vibe. It's just different. MLS is still a young one, if you will. You know, NFL, NBA, MLB are still king. Like, even in the magnitude of the championship, Atlanta United won a championship in 2018. No ifs, ands, buts about it. It's a fact. It is true. It's a major league sport in the United States, but it is not the top tier league in the world, as opposed to NBA, MLB, and NBA and NFL. Sorry. So in that vein, it's in the States here, it's still looked as a little one. Like, oh, you know, even people in the city be like, oh, that don't really count. Like, it does count. It does count. It may not count to the magnitude of the World Series, but it counts as a ring. And rings have been made and banners have been hung. So in that vein, it's known of what the supporter culture here is in Atlanta. We've been reached out from every other major league team here in the city to try to convey that same energy. What is so important that we let these organizations and people know is that it's organic. A lot of supporter culture, it's not something you can just pay off people to be over there cheering and waving. No, it has to be organic, because none of it in that support section that happens is a paid fact. We spend our money, time, energy, voices to do that. And all we ask is you give us the space to do it. So when the other leagues have come and asked for that same sort of energy, we just have to be honest about it. You have to create a space that people can come and freely do it. Yeah, there will need to be parameters within, you know, what those leagues allow, but it needs to be organic in order to fully catch on. And I feel like succeed to the level that United has created, or our supporter cultures have cultivated. As far as like TIFOs and stuff like that, I think MLB and the Braves, they understand, but not fully aware. And honestly, I'm going to figure out how to make it happen. I'm actually in the works of figuring out how to make it happen in a couple of other spaces for our other major league sports. So I'll be honest with you. We can say it now at the time of recording. United did not get a home match. But if we did get that fourth spot, there was going to be a home match, and there was going to be a home TIFO, and there was going to be a hometown tribute, not just to our club, but to the city and to what the Braves did accomplish. So, and for me personally, that's what was going to happen. We were going to definitely
match day one next year. You can save it for match day one.
That's what I'm saying. We still, like, hey, we had a schedule as far as I'm concerned, because Acuna wasn't even out there doing what he needed to do. So. We had a schedule. But in that, you know, the opportunities have presented themselves in so many ways, from, you know, the magnitude and success of Atlanta United and me being so outwardly there in support of it, and people even knowing more so my support for Atlanta overall. So looking to create more opportunities and hopefully talk to some more people to see how we can do that, you know. Not every place is built for it, but there are ways in which you can execute things to that nature. So we'll see. I'm never going to rule that out, because, again, it got Atlanta on it. Whether it's in Cobb or not, it's got Atlanta on it. So I'm riding for it.
There you go, as always. Well, V, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk to us. You are an amazing, amazing person to talk to.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really, again, I told you before, I'm very humbled when getting asked for these opportunities to speak with whoever it is, but especially by my people. That means the most to me. And I'm always here to encourage us to be seen and heard. And so much of that is us just going out, doing what you love and being your authentic self when you do it. And being proud of your work, things will come from that. I do believe in it. I'm seeing it. I'm a walking, living testament of it. But we have to encourage ourselves and our community, continue to be our voice and don't shy away from it. I mean, I can't lie. It took me a lot to get to that warehouse that first night because I was like, I don't know what I'm walking into. And I got anxiety. And I'm okay. But my passion led me, a prayer guided me, and I got in there, and I'm still moving and doing. So that's all we can do is, you know, keep moving forward in that aspect.
Understandable. So real quick, I have a couple of either ors for you. It's a little game that we played in just to close out the podcast. So you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm going to let you know they're not easy, so you can really be honest. So. All right. You have to root for one team to get Atlanta into the playoffs, New York or Orlando?
Ooh, New York. Okay. Now, okay, that's an either or. I went for just city-wise. You didn't say which New York team, though.
You're right, I did it. So you caught on. You caught on.
So I just said New York. Now, my part of my family, my mom's side's from New York. So I have time and love there when it comes to some things. So
It works out. Look, I know how Atlanta is when it comes to Orlando, so I know that was automatic.
Yeah, especially with we don't want that. Nah, man. Like, that was easy. That one was easy. And even it was so easy that I went with our actual rivals, because both New York teams are rivals compared to whatever Orlando thinks they are.
Oh, all right. Next one, Georgia Tech or Georgia Bulldogs?
Dogs, man. I mean, now, they're in Athens and not Atlanta, but just overall organization and how they do things. And plus, red is this, that's the color. That's the color. I'm sorry. I'm a Delta as well. So that's the color.
See, I didn't notice. I'm an Alpha. See?
No. All right.
There we go. All right. last one. I got to ask you this one. Atlanta Hawks win an NBA championship or Atlanta United wins CONCACAF Champions League?
Atlanta Hawks win an NBA title.
All right.
I tell you, man, I always lean this back to, I was there 18. I saw everything this club did for the city. And again, it gave a lot of the new Atlanta newcomers something to latch on and be like, yeah, Atlanta, that's my city too. But they still, you know, Bulls fans, Knicks fans, Lakers fans, Bucks fans, you know, they fans of everything else for all the other leagues.
Right.
As important as United is for the growth of the city, the Hawks, Braves, and even in Falcons, even the Dream, like people, they sleep on the Dream. The Dream have been one of our most successful franchises in their existence as well here. People talk about that, but the WNBA here is still legit, and I pay attention. I always shout out the WNBA and Atlanta Dream. But Hawks, yeah, man, if you were in the city when you saw what we did in last year's run, it means a lot. It means a lot. It means a lot to not just the people who move here now. It means the people who've been here. And that's what a lot of Atlanta's turmoil and pain from all of our Atlanta sports. It's the people who've been here, man. We live with the trauma of what happens to these teams and how they lose or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I grew up going to the Omni and watching Jordan knock us out in the meet days and stuff like that. So I know what it means when the Hawks are good. And I went to the 60-game season and that sweep by Cleveland, you know. For us to, you know, not only get to the Eastern Conference, but then that to be our first actual win, and then we win multiple games in the Eastern Conference Finals, That means a lot. That means you were that close to getting to the finals, which is huge. So, it means so much more because it's a brighter and broader stage. Mm-hmm. And CONCACAF, no discredit to what it stands for, but we got to be real. Sports here in the States, things run different. You know, we're still growing our audience and footprint soccer culture-wise here in Atlanta. And it's taken off because of the success we've had and the notoriety and the vibe and the tone that's been set. But basketball is still basketball in America.
That's very much true. So, well, V, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day for coming on the pod with us.
No problem. I thank you again so much for having me. And I'm so glad we got to link up and make it happen.